our adjourn. Okay, we're going to go on to case number 5, and that is Minning Lin versus Mukasey, and it's Mr. Bardavid. You're going to have to pronounce this.
You got it correct, Bardavid.
Mr. Bardavid.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Joshua Bardavid, co-counsel for petitioner Ms. Lin. Ms. Lin testified that she was arrested and sought for rearrest because the government of China imputed to her religious and political beliefs of a Falun Gong adherent. This was sufficient for the grant of asylum based upon the establishment of a well-founded fear of future persecution. Now, what was particularly troubling about the immigration judge's negative credibility finding was the rather illogical basis of it. Several of the grounds provided simply didn't make sense. For lack of a better word, they were just silly. For example, the IJ questioned why Ms. Lin would, quote, pay huge sums of money simply to avoid the police by hiring a smuggler to get out of China when she could have waited several years for her visa petition to be approved. In fact, logic would dictate that this would buttress Ms. Lin's credibility rather than go against it. The fact that she was sought by the authorities and immediately fled China rather than waiting several years for a visa petition to be approved would show that she, in fact, did have a legitimate fear of persecution. The second reason the IJ cited was the fact that Ms. Lin used a fake passport to enter the United States. And this cuts directly against this court's finding, as well as many other courts' holdings. This court in Lanzom, v. Gonzalez, 430 F. 3033, in which it was held that the use of a false passport does not impugn credibility if there's an explanation for its use. Now, the IJ at page 35 of the record and the government at page 19 of their brief say that Ms. Lin didn't provide an explanation for the use of the fake passport, again, citing to the fact that she could have waited several years for the visa petition to be approved. Again, they do not make note of the fact that Ms. Lin was fleeing persecution, that a summons had been issued for her arrest. She went into hiding for several months and then escaped to China.
Does the record in any way explain why she failed to mention the summons at her credible fear interview?
I believe the record does reflect why she failed to do so, and that being that there was no follow-up questions asked. She was asked a single question, what happened to you in China, and she talked about the time that she was arrested. The very next question was not, was there anything else? Was there anything that caused you to immediately flee? The very next question was, how does China treat Falun Gong adherents? Which demonstrates the purpose of a credible fear interview, which is not to entirely elicit the full basis of the person's underlying claim for asylum, but rather to just establish a threshold level that would exempt them from expeditiously being removed, from permitting the case to be referred to an asylum judge, an immigration judge, for permitting the person to be paroled into the United States. It is not to give this person an opportunity for the full basis of their asylum claim. And in fact, as a matter of law, I don't think this can be a sufficient basis for finding an individual not credible, particularly where their testimony was internally consistent, consistent with their written application, and consistent in all other respects with the documentary evidence.
Was she threatened at all when she was detained in China in conjunction with the arrest of the owners of the bookstore?
I believe that she stated that when she was released, she was warned and threatened that they would still be monitoring her.
When she was released, not during the...
Right. And she was very clear that, and we do not allege that there was persecution as defined by the act at that moment, that she was not abused, she was not tortured, but merely the claim is based upon the well-founded fear that based upon the arrest, based upon the fact that the authorities reissued a summons, that she went into hiding and she fleed under a matter of Mogherabi, this would be sufficient to demonstrate a well-founded fear of persecution in that it demonstrates that she possesses a belief, or at least an imputed belief, that the Chinese authorities seek to overcome. The Chinese authorities are clearly aware of this belief because of the fact that she was arrested, told that she would be monitored, and then a summons was issued for her rearrest.
Does she know what became of the bookstore owners?
She does not. And I believe she states that she does not. And that the only person remaining in China is her brother. The rest of her family is in the United States, and her brother is not even... She testified that he occasionally returns to their home. I believe it's on page 230 of the record. She talks about the fact that he returns to their home maybe once or twice a month just simply to make sure it's still there, but essentially lives away from their villages as often as possible. And I would just note in terms of, if I can return to the use of the fake passport, the fact that Ms. Lin, at the very first opportunity she was given, stated admittedly that this was a fake passport, that she used it to get out of China, that she was not seeking to perpetrate fraud on the U.S. government, that she was simply using it because of her fear of persecution. And now that she was in the United States, she admitted that it was not her, that it was a fake name, and she gave her real information, which was the basis of and her identity was, in fact, established and was not questioned. The IJ cited to no other reasons than the ones I discussed, including the credible fear omission. And this cannot form the basis of a negative credibility determination, given the fact that under... her testimony was internally consistent, and the IJ didn't cite to a single inconsistency within her testimony. The IJ didn't cite to a single inconsistency between her testimony and her written application. And, in fact, at the airport interview and at the credible fear interview, Ms. Lin did discuss the principal basis of her fear in China, which is the arrest, and the minor omission of the summons that was issued, and the fact that she wasn't asked to elaborate on her claim during the airport and credible fear interviews would not impugn in any way on her credibility. Unless the court has any further questions, we'll reserve the remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. David. Mr. Rabin?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Arthur Rabin on behalf of the Attorney General. In this case, the adverse credibility is just a single issue. There are several others, including the burden to corroborate, as well as the burden of proof of showing past persecution and or well-founded fear.
Because
Your Honor,
of the reasons that the IJ listed for discounting her credibility are irrelevant. In other words, why would the amount she paid to leave China, the fact she used falsified documents to gain entry, undercut the believability of her story? And, you know, this is a problem that we've had with this particular IJ over the years.
Well, you're right. The standard this court holds in Negussie, as we pointed out in our brief, is not just the explicit adverse credibility. That could be just one reason for having to have corroboration. But also where the IJ says, you know what, I don't know what to believe here. There are problems here in this testimony. And there were. This woman said, you know, I was arrested once. I was detained for half a day because I had worked in a bookstore where some Falun Gong materials were being distributed. But, you know, they took me in, they questioned me, and they said there was not enough evidence to hold me. And they released me.
Mr. Rabin, tell me this. If, assuming we're unconvinced by the IJ's adverse credibility finding, just assume that, could she demonstrate in your view a well-founded fear of persecution on the basis of imputed membership in Falun Gong? I mean, we could almost take judicial notice of the fact that, you know, the Falun Gong is viewed as, you know, the enemy of China, the enemy in China.
Your Honor, that was not the issue in this case. And I know the petitioner briefed that and touched upon it in briefing, but that's not what the conclusion the board reached or the immigration judge reached. They strictly went on, was the past persecution here, did it rise to the level of persecution and or well-founded fear? Not whether it was on account of, but whether or not she truly has a well-founded fear of going back to China. So if we look at those and limit ourselves to those questions and whether or not there's sufficient evidence in the record to support that is there substantial record evidence to support those two conclusions, setting aside the credibility finding. And even if we set aside the credibility, we still have to get the corroboration. And, you know, we haven't discussed that, and I just would like to just touch on that. You know, Your Honor, the judge said, even if we say, well, the adverse credibility finding is not supported, but according to this court in Negussie, the court said that's also raises corroboration problems if the judges know what to believe. And that's also what the judge said. And the board also upheld that. And in this particular case, this woman said her brother remains in China. It was her brother who received the summons, and her parents have repeatedly returned to China to visit him. Yet never, never did she provide that, a copy of that summons, a statement from the brother, or even a statement or testimony of her parents. So this is readily available corroborative evidence that she could have introduced over the 2.5 years that she was in proceedings, which she never did. Then, moving on to whether or not a single incident of having been detained and questioned, never harmed, never injured, never slapped, nothing like that. She said they raised her voice, they yelled at her. And then later on they warned her not to even get involved with the Falun Gong. But they released her after one afternoon's questioning when they decided there was no evidence to hold her. But then it was only a month later that she heard from her brother that there was a summons received at the house for her to come in, apparently for more questioning. She contacted her aunt, and her aunt said, well, I think they want you to come in because they can't find the Falun Gong family, and they're probably going to arrest you. Well, this is all she went on, and then that's when she said she went into hiding. And she remained in hiding in China for a year. So if we're talking about well-founded fear, this woman remained. She didn't flee right away. She remained where she was in China for a year. Thereafter, her parents have returned repeatedly without any incident. And her brother has remained in China without difficulty. And most important, there is absolutely no evidence that the police are still looking for her, or they ever returned to the house, that they ever followed up on the summons. No evidence of that. So to say that this petitioner proved that compelling record evidence should compel reversal of the board's finding, there is no such evidence to support that. Because even if the court does not find that the adverse credibility should stand, there's still the corroboration problem. There's still the past persecution problem. She did not show that she was persecuted. And there's still the well-founded fear problem. All of those were part of her burden of proof, and all of those are supported by the record. Subject to the court's questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Raven. How much time does Mr. Ben-David have?
Two and a half.
Two and a half. That's a very popular number today.
Briefly, Your Honors, I would just first address the corroboration requirement. Since this was a pre-Real ID Act, under 8 CFR 208.13, if the applicant is credible, corroboration is not necessarily a requirement. So the corroboration requirement, it stems directly from the flawed IJ's negative credibility determination, that if this court determines, in fact, that the IJ's determination was flawed, and we respectfully assert that it was, then corroboration is not necessarily a requirement. In terms of the IJ questioning the fact that the parents have returned to China without incident, the parents are not similarly situated. The parents and the brother are not similarly situated. They were not the ones that were accused of being Falun Gong adherents or selling Falun Gong books. They were not the ones arrested. They were not the ones whom a summons was issued for. It was Ms. Lin. So to fault the fact that the parents have returned without incident is, again, simply illogical because they are not wanted by the police, but Ms. Lin is. And finally, with regards to the fact that Ms. Lin did not, in the government's contention, did not immediately flee, she did immediately flee her house, and she went into hiding until she was able to arrange to be smuggled out of China. The fact that it took several months to a year is irrelevant because she was in hiding, and she never stated anything but the fact that she remained in hiding, and she fled at the first opportunity that she had. So unless the court has any questions.
Thank you.
Rest on a brief. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you both so much. You've both come a long way, so have good trips back. Case will be taken under...